people serving him in the way we can. And so, let me give you an example, a small example. That when I trusted Christ, I stopped drinking alcohol. And I know people say, Timothy, have a little wine for your stomach's sake. And I know in different countries, if you don't drink something other than water, if you drink water, you're going to get sick. I know that. But I was over in Spain, and a pastor sat down, and he set down a beer in front of him. And I had my Diet Coke. And he looked at me, and he said to me, I suppose you're going to say something about this. I said, no, pastor, I cannot do that. I cannot do that, because that's my standard. But that doesn't mean I'm a better Christian than you. And so, it started a great relationship with this pastor in Spain. So the idea here, we need to make it clear those that are personal beliefs and why is my belief, but not teach it as doctrine. And that's what churches did back then. Hair off your hair on your collar if you were a man. That was taught as doctrine. You couldn't be a Christian unless you had hair above your collar. Women who have their hair cut short and definitely were not Christians according to that. That was taught as a doctrine. But then I'm in Africa and I see all these young ladies in this Christian school and all their heads are shaved. Why? To keep disease and to keep flies and other stuff getting in there. They weren't being less of a Christian. And so it's important we understand what is my standard, but my standard doesn't have to be your standard. But I can share with you why it's my standard. And we need to counsel when there's difference. So no, understand what is true doctrine, what is true scripture, and what is our beliefs. John, you and I are old enough. There are certain things that we were taught when we were younger that sometimes we hang on to, saying a Christian shouldn't act this way. You know what? I don't think a Christian should act that way. But if it doesn't say it in Scripture, I can't say you're not a Christian. I can't. Right? And so we need to understand what's our preferences and what is doctrine. I want to go back to the four applications I shared last time. Number one. Examine my motive for being here in church. I shared that last time. Is it because I love the Lord or because I'm here because of tradition? Examine my motive to obeying the Lord. Is it because I love the Lord or because I'm fearful of someone else's condemnation? Examine my motive for serving the Lord. Is it because I love the Lord? Or is because I'm expected to. Last thing, examine my motive for loving others. Is it because I love the Lord? Or is it because I have to because it's convenient? There's at least four of us in here that are married, right? Four or five? Yep, six. Is your spouse always lovable? Don't answer that out loud. Don't answer that out loud. Is your spouse always lovable? You know, God gave me my spouse. God gave you your spouse. And the command is to love your spouse. And thinking back, I'm not always lovable to Pam. I thank God that Pam stuck with me now for 57 years. And she still loves me. I mean, before we left, we had three or four kisses. In the morning, she's still in bed when I get up and I do my exercise, make my breakfast, and then I go out and do my quiet time just before I leave the bedroom to go out and do that. She's still asleep. I lean over and give her a kiss. And by the way, she knows when I don't give her a kiss. She does. She'll tell me, "Kev, why didn't you kiss me before you leave?" She's almost in tears. But I love my wife, in spite of her imperfections. And she loves me, in spite of my imperfections. Why do we love? Annie, at times, she probably think I'm crazy when I say, "I love you." I love you as a sister in the Lord. I love you as a friend. But also Thompson knows I love him. Because I tell him to. Because he's my brother. He's my friend. I could go to each of you. I've said I love you. Because you're my friend, you're my sister, you're my brother. Let's love one another. Not just in words, but in action. That's why you called them naughty children. But I sit down with them because I love them. And some churches would just throw them out. But I can't. I love them because I want them to be men of God. The only way they're going to be men of God, if some person comes along, especially a man, in their life, sits down with them with God's word and shows them what it means to be a true man. Might not take right away, but in time, they remember. What about you? Are you bound by the Spirit? Are you constrained by the Spirit? Out of choice? Do you love God enough to want to do what He has? To do what He wants you to do? To obey Him? To serve Him? To praise Him? To build into others, to grow ourselves. Let's love God. Let's serve Him. Because He's called us. Let's serve Him because we love Him so much. And we are loved even greater by Him. Father, help us now. As we think about ways that we can apply this. Let me just stop, Lord, as I ask the question. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there an area, maybe in your giving, in your purity, in your standards, or how you look at others, that needs to change? That needs to change. Maybe not in a big way, but maybe in a small way. And right now, you just need to talk to God. And just say, "Lord, please forgive me. Help me to be more like you." And then you name the area. Don't be general. Name the area that needs to change. Name the area that needs to be brought in line with his word, brought in line with his teaching, brought in line with his love. Would you name that? And ask Him for help. If you have, I'm the only one looking. If you have, you made a commitment. Will you just shake your head yes? Just shake your head yes? Amen. Father, I do pray for these that made these decisions. And I need to ask another question. Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? The only way you're going to grab a hold of this is if you have a relationship. Not religion, but relationship. And if you never, ever, ever have asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, would you do that right now? It's easy to do, just hard sometimes for people to commit to. It means admitting to God you're a sinner. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, but you believe that He died for you, shed His blood for you, was put in the grave for you, was raised from the dead for you, and you understand He is the only way to heaven, will you just say to Him, "Jesus, I realize I'm a sinner. Please forgive me." Just tell Him that privately, quietly, not out loud. And If you never ask to be your Savior, will you just admit to Him, Lord, I do believe you're the only way to heaven. I do believe that you died for me and shed your blood for me. Just tell Him that. Jesus, I believe that you was put in a grave and you were raised from the dead. Did you just tell Him that? And then if you haven't received Him, but you understand what you've done so far, would you just say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. Please accept me as your child. Just tell them that, privately and quietly. Did you just do that for the first time? And if you did, will you just raise your hand, say, Ken? Or just look up at me, if you just did that for the first time. Did you pray that? Just now? For the first time? Okay. Love to talk to you more about it. Father, use us for your glory. From the oldest here, that's John and I, to the youngest. Help us all to walk in you, to glorify you, to praise you, to grow in you, to be a friend to those around us.